Well, paradise is a love story, as we heard now. And I was wondering if love is a spiritual thing too, because it's very complicated. On one hand, Hannah needs alcohol to be able to love. They start to get out of it together, but it doesn't work. It's when Robert leaves her, it's maybe that's the thing that in the end kills her or makes her feel much worse.
Yeah. I mean, because it's written from her point of view, I mean, I don't actually know. Maybe she loves him, maybe she loves the substance he contains. He may just be a very, very pleasant kind of bottle. Because, you know, she's so in love with liquid, there may not be very much room. She certainly thinks that she's very in love with him. And certainly it's kind of, at a certain level, it's the perfect partner, because they can be drunk together, and she finds that very kind of erotic to drink together. But if they're out of sequence, then it's very bad. And they try being sober, and they try taking different things together. But it's difficult if certainly one of them is kind of she has the usual Calvinist thing. If somebody likes me, there must be something wrong with them, or there must be something wrong with me. If I like them, then I'm not good enough for them. If they like me, they're not good enough for me. Therefore, we can never meet. It all becomes very complicated. So once again, we're back at life, I think.
Well, what was the challenge for you in terms of language to have a drinker as a narrator?
Oh, it's always a challenge to put one word after another and have anybody understand. It has to be explicable. She's very confused and very confusing, and the narrative is not chronological. It has an emotional chronology, maybe a psychological chronology, I hope, but it has to be convincingly confused but not actually confusing, which is quite difficult. So we hope that we manage. But on the other hand, she can do all kinds of things that you wouldn't normally do, just because she's in altered states and extreme states. And, you know, if she wanted to, she could hear colors or, you know, whatever, because she's just a mess, which is quite useful. You know, it's good.
So it freed you. It didn't slow you down when you were writing.
It was. She was fun. She was quite liberating. She may not be fun to read, but it was very enjoyable to write.
You told me that you don't drink alcohol yourself. So, what kind of research did you have to do?
apart from anything else, one tour with Wagenmark. I haven't slept or eaten enough. I haven't slept or eaten enough for 2 weeks. So I'm in a very altered state at the moment.
You seem to be real tough, though.
Kind of. I'm held together with Tai Chi, really. Which is very good. I'm a very good advertisement for Tai Chi. Now, most writers, we have jet lag a huge amount of the time, and strange things going on with us, and writing in the middle of the night and then having to get up and go to work. I mean, and I have, you know, big pain in my back, so I had a time of taking painkillers. It's not ever necessary to be what your character is, and she's just, I have to make her in her kind of alternative states, but it's... if it was literally a book about her being drunk, it would be very boring and inarticulate, which I'm hoping it would not be. It's the drinking is a way to get to something else. So actually the writing about drinking isn't writing about drinking. The descriptions are not really of being drunk. They're more generally to do with heat or light or religion or sex or things that people could understand, because... you know, if you're an end-stage alcoholic, you don't need me to explain it, and you're probably not going to buy the book because you have other priorities for your money. And everybody else, I have to make it accessible.
So that's why you don't give any explanation why she is an alcoholic, because she comes from a happy family, it seems.
Well, this is possible. You know, it's just a disease. You don't get diabetes because your mother shouted at you. And I didn't want it to be Hollywood, you know, her cousin fell into a combine harvester and the trauma 15 years later causes her to, now I must drink. You know, the horrible things happen for absolutely no good reason at all. So I think it's more realistic. And it's more realistic that she doesn't come to the end and do the Hollywood thing of, good, now I will be sober. In a very simple and uncomplicated way, and I will not really explain why I'm all better now. Thank you. It's kind of not that book either.
How did you write it? Did you write it in the order it appears now? Or did you change everything, put it together? It's quite, I don't know if people who haven't read it, It's really round. It's like a spiral.
It's a figure of eight. It's one of those Mobius things. Because I think that's realistic. I mean, if you're very pessimistic, the entire book is her just kind of sitting in a hotel room being drunk and thinking a whole load of stuff that doesn't happen. Or her being in a hospital and being out of her mind, and this is just today's story. Or if you're very optimistic, then everything is lovely. But that's unlikely. It has to be written in the order in which, because in theory, I'm not saying I do this, but in theory, every word has to prepare for every other word, and every section has to prepare for every other section. So it just makes more sense to write it in the order in which the reader will read it, because otherwise I just have to rewrite it in order to prepare what the subtext is. In fact, the fact that it's not chronological doesn't really matter, but the psychology has to be continuous. And so the themes have to appear in a way that makes sense and in a way that sits in the back of your head. And, a book should be in the order in which it works best. Not saying that that's with this book, but that would be the theory. So if I wrote it out of order, it would be far too much work to then mend it so that it all fitted together. Sometimes the book helps if you do that, which is the aim. Sometimes things fit in a way that there's a part where she arrives at a farm and the farmer is kind of unhappy with her because she's late and he looks at her shoes. And when I wrote that, it's just because he was not happy and he's kind of looking about and doesn't want to look at her. And then by the end of the piece, I realized he was looking at her shoes because she has blood on her shoes because something has happened involving somebody else bleeding. And actually, he's disturbed by the blood. But I didn't know that.
I was just going to ask if you planned to do the wonderful thing you do with the theme of liquids. You mentioned it before, she's in love with liquids, and when you start reading, there's a beautiful scene where she pours the very harmless cider in her glass.
It's Apfelsaft, even cider. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, without alcohol.
I wanted to, again, to make it accessible, and I did look at liquids, because they are very beautiful when you pour them. They make these wonderful shapes and the sound of them and the sound of bottles. And, you know, if you open a can, there's a little kind of steam puff of vapor comes out. So I wanted all that to be there. You get a difficulty with, not a difficulty with vocabulary, but in German it becomes more of a kind of song, because you just keep getting Flüssigkeit, because there are fewer words for Flüssigkeit. So there's a lot of Flüssigkeit in English translation, because he has no other options. But but it's very, very good. I love Ingo. Ingo is a wonderful man. It's a very good translation. But I think it's even more in German because of the Flüssigkeit.
Liquid sounds a bit more liquid.
Mm-hmm.
so.
Flüssigkeit, ja. Flüssig ist. Yeah. It's good. It's a nice language.